today on Real Radio.
He says, be reconciled to God at the end of verse 20. Why? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I can't think of any greater news than what I just said right there.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. It's a section in Paul's text that speaks of what many call the great exchange. In fact, as verse 21 reads, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, Will You Come With Us?
It's okay to work out and exercise and take care of your body. Even Christians should do that. In fact, we have a better motive because we want to use our bodies to the glory of God. But the world is out there trying to stay in shape. I appreciate that. And, makeup and dress up and all this stuff, and you want to look your best. And I understand all that, and I understand where it's coming from. This is my world. This is where I live, and I want to look my best, and I want to be my best. But you understand that? Go ahead and be your best. Look your best. All this stuff. But you understand you're just existing? Some people just exist to do that. They don't even realize it. Or they might just exist to achieve this thing. Or they might exist just to get that thing. They're just existing, no matter how you color it. You're just existing. And Paul is saying, no, you want to live? Become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to live an exciting life? You represent my kingdom and a kingdom age down here on earth that doesn't want anything to do with you. But there'll be some who will hear you. Out of a crowd of 100, there'll be 3 that might listen. God is inviting you to do this. And so I would say to you this morning, will you come with us? Will you do that? Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. As he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Simon is Peter. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Is that awesome or what? What in the world was going on? We were existing. If you could insert a little moment there, Peter, Simon, Andrew, what are you guys doing? Well, you know what? Quite frankly, this guy's offering us a real life. We're pretty sick and tired of just existing, throwing nets around in the water. It puts food on the table, and we're supposed to do that. But is there more to life? Paul understands that as a Christian in the Christian ministry, it means purpose to us. And God would send his ambassadors with a message of his kingdom. And that's what our mission ministry is about as believers, as Christians. We are to announce that we are ambassadors inviting people to be reconciled to God. That's the plan. That's the mission. Church, did you hear me? You and I, and this is going to get more exciting as we get through this study. You and I are supposed to invite people to partake of the opportunity of having been reconciled to God. He has, listen, Jesus Christ, we hit it last week. Jesus Christ reconciled the world back to God. It's done. On the cross, he finished that work. And remember, what keeps a person from enjoying that work? Only that rejection of Christ. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to be reconciled to God. This is what we invite people. Come. Will you come with us? Come where? Why? Well, number one, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. But God turns around in Isaiah 1:18 and he says, come, now let us reason together. God says, bring your arguments. Let's fight it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God does this through Christ. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll almost be saved. You'll kind of be saved. You'll be saved. Let's not muddy up the waters. Do you believe the gospel? Then act upon it. Confess to the Lord that he died on the cross, rose again from the grave, that you believe the gospel message. And the Bible says, as you put your trust in Christ, you'll be saved. You can't, my friend, you can't better this. You can't beat this. 1 Corinthians 15:3. What is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The Bible said he would, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Wow. You see, Jack, if I go into a hostile world and announce that to people, if I'm an ambassador of his kingdom and I go into a kingdom that is in opposition, they're going to beat me up. They could. They're going to kill me. We heard this week 400 Christians were killed this week in Africa, just outside their worship service in Africa, by militants killing them, coming out of worship. If I'm going to be deployed into my culture, I could be despised. Yes, it's true. This is the twist. Is their souls important enough to you to risk it? The only way that that's possible is if you love them the way Jesus loves them. If you and I are now saying in our hearts, I don't love them that much, then we need to ask God to change our hearts. Number two, will you come with us? Number two, it's this, verse 20. Listen, he offers us the way out of death. As though God were pleading through us. This is a tremendous statement. It's God. This is hard for us to fathom. We have holy, awesome views of God, dignified views of God. And I want to kind of shatter that just a little bit. Yes, we lift him up. Yes, he's holy. Yes, he's pure. Yes, he's infinite God. But remember, the story of the prodigal son is also about the story of the prodigal father. The son ran away, but the prodigal father broke his culture and ran after the boy. Remember, when he saw the boy coming, it's the father that ran toward the boy that had sinned. That's extravagant. That's radical. That's breaking the rules. He was supposed to be dignified. Listen, God, thank God, he's not stuck in tradition that he had to render himself so dignified that he wouldn't come and rescue you and I in our situation. He came down. He came for you and I to set us free from death. And Paul says, listen to this, as though God were pleading through us. How does God reach the world? It's amazing. He pleads to the souls of others through you and I. How, think of it. Oh, I wish I could just, you know, imagine if we could just take the time right now to just suit us, each of us up in armor, and you can hear the clanking of it. Okay, well, now what? We're going to go out there. What are we going to do? We're going to tell the world. Okay, let's go. And you go out in the armor of God, the word of God, faith, the sword of the Spirit, righteousness, salvation. Ephesians 6, you go out into a world that's hostile. Why? They don't even know they're dead. We didn't know we were dead. I thought I was living. I was going to a party a night I got saved. I had all my evil planned out, except my evil. I didn't call it evil. It was good. God had another plan. God interrupted my plans. I didn't even know I was dead. He offers us the way out of death. God wants to use every one of us to plead for the souls of the people that you and I know. And it's an amazing thing. The third thing under this point, will you come with us? Because he offers to us the way out is the way out of hell itself. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Messiah, Christ, Messiah, Savior, the one who delivers you from wrath, the one that delivers you from hell, Christ, Messiah, the one who delivers you out of hell. Now look, we, I'll probably bore you with this. Take your highlighter or your pen, circle the word we, circle the word then implore, and Christ's behalf, circle that. We. This is an amazing push. The United Church effort to reach the lost and the condemned. We would say it this way. Jesus said it this way. I send you out as sheep among wolves, right? I send you out to do what? We together, the Spirit of God working in your life. You have the word, the gospel in you. Now you go. In a united effort, we're going to reach the lost. God, listen, church. God wants to reach the lost, and he wants to use you and I. Amen. That is awesome. When you pray your prayers, do you say, Lord, I know you want to do something in the earth, and we need you to do something in the earth. So God, if you're going to do something, and I believe you are going to do something, will you use me? Church, did you hear me? Can you pray that prayer? Can you start praying that prayer? You say, I don't want to pray the prayer. Pray it. Just try it. God, if you're going to do something in the earth, do it with me. Ask him. Watch what happens. And imagine if just first service, you guys want to provoke second and third service to jealousy? Pray that prayer. Watch what happens. God is waiting to hear that. And then the word implore. He wants to implore us. Parakaleo is the word in the Greek. It means to come alongside someone or to call them, to invite them. It means to exhort them, to decide. He says, I implore you, make this decision. Come. Come. Why? Do what? Because I want to send you out. I want you to go alongside with me and reach others. God wants to have you join him. It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's on Christ's behalf. This word means to be his, in his place of representation. This is a heavy deal. Christian, Jesus is asking you to be in his sandals in the world that he's sent you out into. The Old Testament announcement is what Esther said. Or actually, Mordecai said it. Didn't her uncle tell her this? That you've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Excuse me, Uncle Mordecai? Esther, you've been born for this reason. Everything that's happened to this moment, Mordecai is telling her, is for you. God has put you in this position to represent the kingdom of his people before the king. Now go in there. And she, remember, she's kind of hesitant. I don't know. And he said, look, if you don't go in there, God will raise up someone else to do it. Go. And she went and changed the world. You know what's cool about that? It's not only in your Bible, it's in secular history. Don't you love that? I love that. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should be reached with repentance. Listen, verse 10 though, but listen, the day of the Lord will come. What is Peter saying? That we want to reach people because, listen, time's running out, and God's patience. You know, God's been patient for 2,000 years. He's been patient. And one of the signs of him being near to coming is that there's the dragnet. He's going to kind of step it out. You're going to start seeing, I think, a lot more people globally. I mean, look at the Chinese. Supposedly, you can't have hard numbers on this because a lot of it's secret and gets out by word of mouth. But we are hearing about Chinese coming to Christ and being born again in numbers that dwarf numbers anywhere else in the world right now. Why? Jesus is coming back. He's coming for his church. What about Russia? Remember when Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall? Hey, that was an amazing thing. But you know what I think now, knowing what's happened? I think God was using Ronald Reagan to get that wall down, because as soon as it came down, 600,000 Russian-born Jews made it back to Israel. At the same time, while they were leaving, some of us were in airplanes going. As soon as that wall came down, we were in Red Square preaching the gospel. 71 years, you couldn't mention Jesus publicly in Russia, and we were there preaching Christ in front of the Kremlin, in front of Lenin's tomb. And soldiers were there. They couldn't do anything, but they were listening. I got more kisses and hugs by women in Russia than anybody anywhere at any time, including my wife. The interesting thing was they were all over 80 years of age. And they all said, I was 10 years old when the communists came and took our Bibles away and burned them in the front of our village and said God was dead. And we prayed that this would happen in our country. Why? Because listen, God's coming back. Christ is coming back. And there's going to come a moment. He's not willing that any should perish. That's true. Oh, that's cool. Well, then I don't have to worry about it. Read the fine print. He's not willing that you wind up in hell. But time's running out. You need to make a decision. You need to follow us. We're following Christ. Come on, let's go. And if you don't make the decision, there's going to come a day when the door shuts and you're left out. And it's hell. Wow. Point number two this morning is this, found in verses, latter end of verse 20 and 21, is this. Will you come with us because our God offers you peace with him? He says, be reconciled to God at the end of verse 20. Why? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. I can't think of any greater news than what I just said right there. This is amazing. Absolutely awesome. Beyond human imagination, that a Savior would be concocted in the minds of a man or men that would do this. This is only from the heart of God. Amen. You see, we may not appreciate it much because we have a very low value of sin. You know, there's people that walk around, and I understand, sort of, I understand, oh, I just can't believe in a hell. It just seems too bad. I understand that to a point. But when I read my Bible, and it reveals the nature of Christ and the love of God and the heart of God, the more I see the value of Christ and his offering on the cross, who died there? When I look at that, now I begin to understand that hell is justified by the magnitude of the rejection of the valued provision. What God provided is beyond human estimation. See, when people write books that there's no hell, it simply tells me they've never looked into the face of God and understood the price that was paid for sin. God did it all so that nobody would wind up being lost. Peace with God. No more at war with God. How does he do this? Peace by removing. Peace by removal. Be reconciled to God. Write this verse down. It's awesome. Colossians chapter 1. Are you guys okay?
Yes.
You know, I got to tell you, the last 2 weeks, first service has been real quiet. What's up? You guys okay? Is it the weather? Is it not hot enough for you? I know. Yeah. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, Jesus, the firstborn. The word means preeminent. He was in existence before all of creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. Not only bug life and microscopic life, but us and even angelic life was created by Christ. That's the word principality or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, watch how things are removed, sins removed, all the fullness should dwell. That is, the Godhead resides in Christ. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. How do I get peace with God? The blood of Christ on Christ's cross. It's free. Cost him everything. It's not cheap, though it's free. Are you with me? It cost him everything. Not to provide something cheap, it cost him everything to provide something priceless. And it's yours for the taking, if you take it. Jesus removed your sin and mine. This even gets better. This is like a zoom in. Watch this next verse. It's like zooming the microscope in. Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all listen, having forgiven you all trespasses, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, that's, you know, every time you blow it, imagine a police officer. Imagine you driving around town and he's not following you. You have a trailer and he's sitting in the trailer behind you. You didn't use your blinker. You didn't slow down in time. You made that lane change too quick. You're going too fast. You're going too slow. Imagine. Handwriting, handwriting, handwriting. The Bible says every one of us had a handwriting of ordinances that were against us. Oh my gosh. Well, what happened to those things? Well, it says, which was contrary to us, he has taken out of the way, nailing them, having nailed them to his cross. Oh man. Peace through perfection. Verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin. That's Jesus, sinless. Has someone told you that the Jesus of Islam is the same Jesus of the Bible? Well, did you know that the Jesus of Islam is a sinner Jesus? It's not the same Jesus. The Bible Jesus knew no sin. Perfect. Has Jehovah's Witnesses talked to you lately about Jesus? Well, they say you know him by the name Jesus. We know him by his real name. Oh, really? Well, tell me, what is his real name? Oh, his name's Michael. He's an angel. You guys mistaken him. You made him a Messiah. He's actually Michael the Archangel. He goes by a different name. Did you know that's what they believe at your doorstep? Did you know that Mormons, as sweet as they are, offer you a different Jesus at your doorstep? He's Satan's brother in Mormonism. And he's one of many, 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 many gods. And Jesus' God that he answers to is Adam in Mormonism. Did you know that? I'm talking about the Bible Jesus is the only one perfect. Amen. The Bible Jesus is the one who came from heaven to earth with a mission. And that mission, once it gets into our hearts, he asks us to turn around and to go out to the ends of the earth and invite people as ambassadors to come and be set free and to know peace and to have forgiveness and to have hell evaporated from their lives. Heaven is in sight, all by the perfection of Christ. There's a way back to God, all right, but it demands perfection. I can't do it. That's okay. Jesus did. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Back to the Old Testament. Listen, 3,743 years ago today. I mean, this year. That's 743 years before Jesus. Isaiah 43:5 says, but speaking of the Messiah, he was wounded. He's looking ahead. Isaiah's looking down the hallway of prophecy, of history, and he looks ahead prophetically. He was wounded for our transgressions. Read your Old Testament. Who died for our sins? He was bruised for our iniquities. David didn't do that. Caleb didn't do that. Moses didn't do this. He was chastised for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Will You Come With Us? It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Will you come with us? Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 2 Corinthians, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that this ministry has an app? It's called the Real Life app, and it's yours for your smartphone or tablet. And did you know that it's a free download? Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. Now, did you know that with this one app, you can access Real Radio, Pastor Jack's program on Sirius XM, Real Life Devotions, which you'll hear us talk about often. The list seems to go on and on. Just download that app right now and you'll see. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Also, remember to visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.